Welcome to episode 4 of Stories of Recovery podcast. This podcast is a collaboration between Mental Health Ireland and the HSE Community Mental Health Services in Cavan and Monaghan as part of the Connecting for Life strategy to reduce suicide in our communities. My name is Miffy Hode and I'm a Development Officer with Mental Health Ireland in the Cavan and Monaghan area. I host the conversations here on the Stories of Recovery podcast. It's widely recognised that the sharing of personal narrative and lived experience of surviving and recovering from adverse events in life offers hope and inspiration to those who may be going through something similar. It's been shown to promote help-seeking behaviour and encourage people to reach out for support when needed. It's our intention that the conversations here on the Stories of Recovery podcast will bring hope and inspiration to you, the listener, and encourage you to reach out should you need support. We also hope that the conversations here add meaning to the experience of those involved in helping to spread the word that recovery is real and possible, even from the most difficult of experiences. A list of supports and services can be found in a link below the podcast and will also be announced at the end of this recording. Thanks for listening, and let me introduce you to our theme and guests today. This episode is being published in December and is about family well-being. My guests here are Dimpna Finnegan and Anne Crowe. Dimpna is a mother and, among other things, a RAP facilitator. Here she is talking about supporting her son through very difficult times when he was experiencing a lot of mental distress and episodes of psychosis. She shares some of the challenges she faced as a mother in this situation and what has been helpful in her own journey of recovery. Anne Crowe is a community development and family support worker with Focus Family Resource Centre in West Cavan. She talks about the sorts of challenges faced by families due to the pandemic and also how family resource centres help and what sorts of supports families can avail of there. There will be information at the end of the podcast about the various supports and services mentioned and how to access them. First, I caught up with Dimpna in Carrickmacross, so we'll take it from here. So Dimpna, thanks a million for being part of this Stories of Recovery episode. Can you share with me, Dimpna, some of your experiences?
Thank you very much, Miffy, for inviting me to this. Experiences of having problems with mental issues in your home can be very, very difficult. The shock of not realising what's going on, you're not familiar with problems like this. When you do realise there is something wrong here, where do you go to get help? What's your first step? Well, my first step was go to the GP, got my son involved with the services. He would fight the services, he wouldn't accept help. Nothing wrong with me. No, I'm fine. Then you'd question, well, I know I did question myself, is it me? But realising it wasn't me, it was the son, so I had to force his hand really and make him get help. And then of course I had another son to look after, the normal day-to-day living, working, getting the son involved anyway, and after years of frustrating times, I suppose he accepted that he had something wrong. I remember saying to him one time, everybody has to take medication for something or other. If you have a heart condition, you take medication. People that has cancer take medication. And as time went by, he accepted it and he deals with it. And now to this day, he is doing well. Yeah.
You mentioned how you felt maybe it was your fault. Mm. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I suppose where I thought it was my fault was I was working a lot, trying to make ends meet, trying to keep the roof over our heads. That my son at the time was a teenager, wrong time of life for him, I suppose. I felt too that I maybe hadn't enough control over the two of them and maybe let them do whatever they wanted. But why was one son not well and both of them were being treated the same? parents would say they got in with the wrong crowd. But realising it was substance abuse from the beginning that caused it with my son.
Yeah.
It triggered it and triggered it badly.
Yeah.
Life is very, very hard in them days. Very, very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you describe it as being difficult and all of the things that are going on for you as a mother and trying to manage all of that. And so what sort of things helped you to sort of come to terms and mind your mental health in amongst all of this?
Some days I would say to myself, think to myself, am I just losing the run of myself? But think, I'd have to be strong, I'd have to deal with it, because I had to look after them, plus take care of myself, and plus take care of the everyday living,
yeah.
Pay bills. But where the support came in, it was from my family and from my friends, and especially my brother. He was very, very good to me. He would bring up food to me. He'd put oil in the tank come winter, things like that. And I often think back on it, and I said, geez, I didn't appreciate what he'd done. It's after the fact I do appreciate it then. Yeah, I still have a very good friend. We still contact each other every day, even if it's just to say hello, hi. But she was very supportive to me as well, and she would guide me along on what to do. And the home support team from the mental health services, they were a great help. I could call them up and they would come very, very quickly if there was a crisis starting. They would come out on a regular basis to see my son, give him medication, speak to me to see how I was doing, help me along, and then phone maybe the next day to see how the son was doing, and just basically checking in. And I knew they were always there if I needed them in a crisis, or even just to speak for my own feelings.
Okay. Yeah, so they weren't just supporting your son with his crisis, but they were supporting you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they would speak to my other son as well, ask him, how is he doing? He couldn't understand the situation at the time. It was a difficult time for him as well. It takes time for everything to sort itself out.
Yeah.
But as time went by, my son didn't get well and is well.
Good. And what I'm hearing in all of that, Dimna, is that the support was for the entire family. It wasn't just for one member of the family. It was kind of holistic, if you like.
Yes, yeah. Very much so. They just wouldn't come and deal with the son. They would actually sit down and talk and see how are you doing, Dimna? How are you coping? Have you support? Was your brother up with you? Just general conversation to make things normal.
Yeah.
The major challenges was at the beginning with the son, trying to get him engaged with the services. Sometimes they can put on the mask when they're in front of professionals. And they can cover it up in front of the professionals. I found that very, very, very difficult at the beginning.
Okay.
But as he was getting more unwell, at the time he couldn't do it. And I would say to the professionals, and they did understand it then and they could see it. But he was very, very cute. He was so, so cute at doing this, putting this front up. And the minute he came in the house, all hell would break loose again.
Okay. And are we talking about behaviour, you know, are we talking about outbursts?
Outbursts, behaviour, I was to blame for everything.
Okay.
If it rained, I was to blame for that.
Okay.
Yeah, he would have severe outbursts. But I learned to stand up to him. At times I would have been very fearful. I'm very fearful for the other son as well.
Mm.
The other son learned to stand up for himself too.
Yeah.
Would confront them, like, I've seen them fighting on the floor,
yeah,
having to try and break them up. Those were very difficult and challenging times.
Yeah.
But as I say, we've come the other end.
You persevered, don't
know. Yes, persevered.
Yeah.
I suppose over the years I've learned to accept it as well, where he learned to accept it. My younger son done learned to accept the whole situation as well. Acceptance is a big thing in a person's life.
Okay.
And as I said, my son, when he accepted it, life changed, big time. I remember being asked to join a course called RAP, and I found that very, very interesting. And I became a RAP facilitator. And I found that very helpful to those who are in the same situation that I was in. I can relate to them and they can relate to me, saying what happened to me, what happened to my son, what the house was like, upside down, stress of it all.
Yeah. And you mentioned RAP, and we have done an episode on RAP. And so in RAP, there's wellness tools, and it's about looking after yourself on a daily basis and all of those things. So what sort of things did you get from RAP then that helped you in your recovery?
Walking. I found walking was very, very good. And especially this time of the year when the leaves are on the ground and you're frustrated, you can kick them leaves as hard as you want. And I also love going for a walk in the forest and parks, things like that. What else kept me well? Reading. I go to bed early and read the book. And I suppose maybe a little bit of socialising at the time, but I would be very apprehensive when going out socialising because of the fear of what's going to face me when I go back home.
Okay. Yeah.
But predominantly walking. And I still do walk today.
Yeah. That's your go-to.
That is actually, yeah.
For getting a bit of headspace maybe.
Yeah. And I would have a book sitting on the coffee table, just read a paragraph of that book every morning before I go out the door. That kept me going also.
Okay.
The simple things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've clearly come a very long way, don't you? From those very difficult times when things were very stressful in your home and your son was very unwell and you were dealing with an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you have spoken publicly about being a family member and the challenges that you've faced. Interested to know why you share your story and what that means for you.
The reason I share my story is to help other families as well. To give them a little bit of support, to say they could walk away and say, well, that woman went through what we are going through now. But to let them know too that there's always help out there.
Okay.
And to let them know that there is light at the end of the tunnel as well.
Yeah.
The light at the end of the tunnel might be a long way away, but there's always some glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
And just to give them a little bit of support. I just see families, I look at them and I say to myself, I was there. I know what you're going through.
I know that I've mentioned this on other episodes, how I have this thing for silver linings. I think that, you know, these adversities that we face, you know, that somewhere in them, if there's some good we can find, it can add meaning for something. And I'm just curious for you, you know, what are the silver linings for you from all of this experience?
Good question, yes. I suppose I've learned to stand up for myself.
Okay.
Even speaking with professionals when the son wasn't well, I felt as I was standing up for myself.
Mm.
And them telling me what to do all the time, where he was concerned, but I'd say no.
Mm.
Because I didn't want going back to the situation again. That's the way I felt.
Mm.
I can't see life being any different to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And it has taught us a lot. And even I could see people are not well.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. You see that chap's not too well.
Yeah. You have an insight.
I have actually, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see it, yeah. Where other people might not see it.
Yeah.
I can point out them traits or whatever word you're using.
Yeah. On the podcast, we call it Stories of Recovery. I'm just curious to know, Demna, what recovery means to you personally.
Recovery means having a normal life. Doing your day-to-day jobs, work, whatever it may be. Coming home in the evening and not being fearful of what you're going to face.
Mm.
Whether it's bad form or good form, the
family member is in, or you're being blamed for something you didn't do. Recovery itself is a long journey. You'd say to yourself, is this ever going to end? And then you'd say to yourself, oh, yeah, tomorrow will be better. Tomorrow will be better. But tomorrow seems so, so far away in them crisis.
Yeah.
Recovery is a journey. I suppose it's like having a baby. You can't run away from it. You get there.
Yeah. After my conversation with Dimpna, I met with Anne in the Focus Family Resource Centre in Killeshandra. We kept the window open for ventilation purposes, so there's a bit of traffic noise from time to time. There's also a ticking clock that was close to the recording device that we only twigged at the end of our chat. I hope it doesn't distract too much from the content of our conversation. So here is myself and Anne talking about the services offered by the Family Resource Centres. Thanks a million, Anne, for taking part in this episode of Stories of Recovery. It's lovely to meet you here.
And it's lovely to be here and to share our experiences, especially in light of the pandemic that still seems to be haunting us. Mm. We have always said, when we're asked, what are the most common factors, you know, with families that you're working with, what comes up tops is parental mental health issues and poverty, both of which inhibit social interaction. So isolation from the community is very, very common. But when the pandemic visited us in March 2020, we'll have to really think about what happened then and remember the suddenness of it all. Bang, there we were in lockdown. So those families that had some sort of extended family supports, those supports were gone. They were wiped out. There was no granny and granddad able to come in to the house. They weren't able to help out. Kids were at home. They were being homeschooled. Parents who were working were now working from home. And of course, this led to the, as we call it, the fight of the broadband. I don't know, Miffy, you might be aware, in West Cavan anyway, broadband can be difficult to access at the best of times. So there we have families with maybe one laptop trying to access school work, trying to access work, new routines, the stress incurred with all of that, the heightened anxieties, other supports that families may have been linked in with, that they may have been accessing, that all came to an abrupt stop.
Yeah.
And here we were, stuck in a house 24/7, no play parks, some situations, no gardens. Parents with limited capacity trying to understand their kids' schoolwork, and the pressure is just constantly mounting. Mm. And then we had our parents that were parenting alone, not able to access shops as the kids weren't allowed in. Remember that?
I know, you forget how really intense that was, wasn't
it? It was really shocking.
Mm.
And just, you know, those families, and families that are already experiencing domestic abuse and trying to manage challenging behaviours, all this stress and all this anxiety constantly mounting, and that sense of isolation is suddenly compounded with the lack of access to essential services. You know, we had families that were dealing with addiction.
Mm.
Now they can't go to their AA meetings.
Mm.
And it was a while before we all realised, you know, oh, hold on, we need to find a way to communicate with our families and to keep these services going. And you had family members that were dying with COVID and with whatever illness, and they couldn't grieve the same way, they couldn't have the way us Irish people do it, but they couldn't have a wake, they couldn't have people come into the house. All those supports, everything just wiped out, essentially wiped out. So I think our first port of call, well, in my experience anyway, as a family support worker, our first port of call was meeting the basic needs of these families.
Mm.
And that was getting food on the table, because these families couldn't get out to the shops.
Yeah.
They had nobody to shop for them. They couldn't bring kids out. So it was making sure food was on the table. So we were fortunate to be able to access the food bank that was operating in this area in Cab, and I'm quite sure it was the same in Monaghan.
Sure.
We had over 50 families that we were delivering to on a weekly basis, and that included bringing in all sorts of supports. The Gardaí delivered, the Civil Defence delivered, we had volunteers from different community groups happy to deliver to their community. And, you know, we also, because we could see the stress that families were going through, we also included, put together family activity packs, and that was to try and alleviate the stress. There'd be little activities and mindfulness and games and mandalas to colour in, different little things, you know, put a bit of fun into the whole mix. And I suppose then, Miffy, when we realised as professionals there wasn't going to be a quick fix to this pandemic, we had to learn new ways of connecting with our families. So, you know, and to help them engage with other agencies. So along came Zoom, Microsoft Teams, WebEx, things I had never heard of before. And all of a sudden it was part of everyday life. And then we had to explain these procedures, show our families, talk to them over the phone, demonstrate at the gate how these things worked. And this was going to be the way forward. This is how all the agencies like CAMHS, like GP and whatever services, the AA, everybody came on board. And it was really fantastic the way it engaged, you know, families were able then to engage with much needed supports. Although it did, you know, there were the issues again going back to not having tablets or not having laptops. So in the sorry, Miffy.
No, I just wanted to ask you there, because you said at the top about how the two key things that come up are parental mental health and poverty. And can we just talk a little bit about the poverty issue, Anne? Because, you know, for families that are experiencing poverty, you know, the stresses and the strains of that itself is putting huge pressure on their mental health and well-being. You know, what sort of things are families facing?
Well, it's, you know, when we talk about poverty, it really is living the day to day. So an awful lot of our families are not able to work. They're not in employment for one reason or another. And they're living on benefits and trying to keep their head above water so they can afford maybe to keep the basics, the basic food on the table. But when it comes to, like, we're coming up to Christmas now, there isn't extra money in the pot for Christmas presents. There isn't extra money in the pot for school shoes, school uniforms. There's only enough for day-to-day, very basic living. You know, and I have sat with parents and looked at their finances and, you know, MABS are there as well. They're a fantastic resource for parents. But when you're looking at what the income is and what it takes to keep a family going, you know, there's nothing extra there. That's the poverty we're looking at. We're looking at not being able to put new shoes on kids. You're relying on charity shops. You're relying maybe on St. Vincent de Paul or others to help get through, to get, you know, school uniforms or for special occasions. They're looking elsewhere for supports. It's just, yes, they can get by, but it's very, very basic.
Yeah.
And we're busy trying to encourage our parents around healthy living and healthy eating. And there's that not being able to access the bigger shops that maybe they can buy more for less, if you know what I mean. They can't access those bigger shops because of the limited public transport infrastructure, so they really are isolated, and, you know, it is very, very difficult.
And what I'm hearing in that is that isolation comes in many forms and is caused by many reasons. I mean, we were all isolated because of the pandemic, But, you know, what you're describing there, that level of poverty brings its own isolation because it limits how what a family can do,
exactly.
Where they can go, how far they can go, and what they can buy and what they can afford. And so, and then the impact of that in terms of the stress and maybe feeling shame. And what does the Family Resource Centre offer then?
All family resource centres are there to empower people to get involved and, you know, meet their needs. And we provide programmes and courses, family programmes and programmes for adults as well. And anything that we run is either free or at a very, very minimal cost. And that's the way we operate. We only offer say like children's drama or the youth club or, you know, extracurricular things like that, no cost to them. We're very lucky that we engage with the ETB, and at the moment here in Kitishandra they're providing parent and child yoga. They have in the past provided parent and child cookery, and it's just lovely to see families coming in and engaging with that, and that's at no cost.
Lovely.
You
yeah.
know, and it is a lovely idea. During the pandemic we were able to go online with the cookery programs, and it was just lovely. All the ingredients were sent out
Brilliant.
On a specific day, and then they could access the supporting YouTube video on at a time when it suited them. So for any of the parents that were working, it didn't have to be done, you know, they could view that video at the weekend or whenever, and then they would send us in pictures of the kids cooking, and it was really, really great fun. I mean, I had a family tell me that their kids spent an awful lot of time making a lovely fish pie, and she said they never ate fish in their lives.
Yeah.
They cleared their plates, you know, but it was lovely to hear those stories and
yeah,
get
and
that
feedback.
And those
experiences are so important for families, aren't they? To have
definitely.
Those kind of experiences and memories and feeling and a sense of accomplishment to have cooked a meal together.
And I think that's where we have to take the positives out of the pandemic.
Mm.
You know, it did bring us back to the basics, back to community supports, neighbours helping neighbours, shops offering delivery services, volunteers stepping up, and new friendships were made. But also that connection that, you know, parents reevaluated what was important to their families. You know, what was really important? And these little snippets of family time, families cooking together, families doing core strength together, or families going out walking together or out on their bicycles, all those were, you know, bringing us back to what are families really about,
yeah.
you know? And it doesn't have to be. Through our parenting programs, we're always looking at how to encourage more positive behaviours, and we look at reward charts and how are we going to reward. It doesn't have to be a monetary value in that. The reward could be the whole family are going to the park,
yeah.
or the whole family are going on a picnic, and, you know, sandwiches and squash or whatever, you know. It doesn't have, or story time, having a movie night, you know, kind of natural rewards as well. It doesn't have to involve money, but that really, you know, it did give us all an opportunity to reevaluate where we're at in life.
Yeah.
I think as well, being able to access appointments, you know, essential services that families were utilising before the lockdown, services like CAMHS. ISPCC, all those services that they offer, that being online, that definitely improved things for families as well, that they were refreshed about how they could move forward, you
right.
know. Those supports really opened the doors and put families back on track in terms of treatment plans and keeping their routines in place.
If a family was to contact the Family Resource Centre, what sort of supports could they expect or maybe ask for?
Well, the ongoing supports that we have here and in all Family Resource Centres, we have counselling for all ages. We have play therapy for under 11s, and all these things, they can be self referrals. You don't have to go through the GP for those. We have other programmes such as social prescribing, and the social prescriber will link adults, it is for adults over 18, and linking them in with activities or programmes that they would be interested in. So it's a lovely connection to the community. The focus on your future is coordinated by Cathy, and that is for 16 to 25 year olds. And Cathy again was able to continue linking in with her young people in West Cavan throughout the pandemic. They were able to access online mental health supports, mindfulness. They had little challenges, you know, to do as well. And again, the LGBT plus worker was able to engage throughout the pandemic with their young people. That was very important because these were young people that maybe might necessarily have been supported at home.
Mm.
And that connection, it was important to keep that going throughout.
Mm.
We have a tea and a chat project, again, for adults, especially adults that are isolated in the home, where volunteers will go out. And literally, it is what it says on the package. It is tea and a chat. It's not home help. It's not personal care. It's going in and sitting with somebody and having a conversation over a cup of tea and keeping that connection with their community. Recently, access funding from the Connection for Life, and we ran a four-week Creative Connections programme, and it allowed us to engage for 4 weeks, looking at how our creativity can support us to link in with everyday life. And that's what we propose to our families. Get outdoors, go for a walk, keep routines in place, find an activity that you enjoy. Social prescribers are great at connecting people into activities in their own community. Lift the phone. Lift the phone to any family resource centres. They all have a variety of programmes and you're bound to find something that suits, whether it's parent-child yoga, whether it's drama for the kids to build self-esteem and confidence. And as I said earlier, all courses and programmes are either free or at a very, very minimal cost.
Mm.
But as I said, all family resource centres have different programmes running. Another thing that we got involved with is the 1 Million Stars Against Violence, and that really took off in West Cavan. And a lot of families came and collected star-making packs and had the conversations. The local childcare facility got involved over the summer, as did Bounce Back in Belturbet. Just a lovely way to connect with the community, and that's ongoing. I think as well, from, you know, what does this family support worker do? And I see it as when you go to your window in the morning and you open the curtains and you see a chink of light and you close them because you can't, you're just thinking to yourself, I can't do another day of this. Our role is that support to help you pull back those curtains fully so you can see the sunshine and find a way to embrace a new day. We're here to empower you to overcome those barriers, you know, so your needs are going to be fully met. And we're asking you, just lift the phone, call in any family resource centre. We're all there to help. We're there to support you, link in with your community and find a way to overcome any issues that you may have.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Stories of Recovery. There are 4 family resource centres across Cavan and Monaghan: Focus Family Resource Centre in Killeshandra, Chacoskill Family Resource Centre in Cavan Town, Clonus Family Resource Centre in Clonus, and Chacnadina Family Resource Centre in Monaghan Town. If you visit www.familyresource.ie, you'll be able to find where your nearest family resource centre is and their contact details. Family resource centres offer counselling across all age groups, have a wide range of groups and activities to offer, including parenting programmes and support groups. The social prescribing service that Anne mentioned is also available through all the family resource centres locally and many others across the country. They also host family mediation services and are skilled at signposting families to the appropriate supports they might benefit from. And all of this, of course, is confidential and safe. Dimpna mentioned the mental health services that were so supportive to her family. All mental health services, child and adolescent mental health services, the community-based mental health services and adult mental health services can be accessed by referral through your GP. Cavan Monaghan Mental Health Services have a home-based service where the mental health team visit a person in their own home instead of having to stay in hospital. If you or someone you know would benefit from getting some help and support due to mental and emotional distress, contact your GP and ask to be referred to the mental health services. If you'd like to avail of support or information on services for yourself or someone you know, you can also visit the HSE website www.yourmentalhealth.ie for general information as well as how and where to get support. You should always contact your GP, doctor or other health professional you might be in contact with if you have concerns about your mental health and well-being. And in the event of an emergency, call 999 Emergency Services if you or someone you know is at risk of harming themselves. For further resources and information on recovery and promoting mental health and well-being, please visit www.mentalhealthireland.ie/resources, where there are a wide variety of downloadable resources, webinar recordings, videos and links that are informative and supportive, including a page specifically for family recovery called We Are Family. There's also pieces on farming and mental health, recovery colleges and lots more. I look forward to sharing the next episode with you in January, where we'll be talking to people from marginalised communities and their stories of recovery. Take care for now and thanks for listening.